The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, everybody? It's another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast right here on AM 970 The Answer. Sorry about that. I had purposely tried to clear my throat before I opened up the microphone, but of course, as usual, it doesn't always work out that way. Mine, All Mine. First track off of Van Halen's OU812, an album that came out 35 years ago this past week. And a happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. I hope you're having a great time at barbecues, wherever you are in this great nation of ours. We've got a great show for you tonight. A guest that may or may not be joining me. I'm not really sure yet as I'm recording this right now. We're scheduled to have Chuck Aaron on from Jersey Girl Brewing. A lot of stuff going on in the New Jersey legislature. And we will discuss that, among other things. Obviously, Jersey Girl just celebrating their 7th anniversary as a brewery into their 8th year. Chuck was down in Nashville for the craft beer conference. A lot of stuff to get to with Chuck, and we'll get into it, hopefully, in our third segment of the show, or otherwise it'll be another news segment, and it's another news-filled show. And believe me, there is plenty of news, so let's dive right into it before we run out of time here in this first segment. And the big breaking news that took place this past Monday, New York's FX Matt Brewing Company, which is the parent company of Saranac Brewing, has struck a deal to acquire Flying Dog Brewery in Frederick, Maryland. Companies announced that this past Monday. Financial terms of the transaction not disclosed. Flying Dog's production will begin shifting to FX Matt's Utica, New York-based production facility over this summer, with operations in Maryland expected to stop sometime in August. So they will be brewing their beer exclusively in New York for a while. Flying Dog will maintain a presence in Maryland as FX Matt is seeking a location for an innovation brewery and tap room in Frederick. FX Matt is a logical fit for Flying Dog. The company has contract brewed many of Flying Dog's offerings over the years due to capacity constraints at the Maryland brewery. And FX Matt CEO Fred Matt said in the announcement that Flying Dog offers his company a great opportunity to grow in the Mid-Atlantic region. And Flying Dog CEO Jim Caruso added, he could not imagine a better steward for the Flying Dog brand going forward than FX Matt. It is important to me that FX Matt Brewing is offered employment opportunities to as many employees as possible. We will provide job placement assistance to team members, he continued. Frederick is a great place to live and do business. Unfortunately, even though we have invested millions of dollars in the brewery, it has too many limitations and puts Flying Dog at too great a competitive disadvantage. In 2021, FX Matt completed a nearly $35 million brewery upgrade, with the investments made possible by the sale of a 20% stake in the business to the Brooklyn Brewery, which has contract produced its beer at FX Matt for around 30 years. Now, the deal between FX Matt and Flying Dog will bring together the 14th and 34th largest Brewers Association defined craft breweries by volume in 2022, respectively. And again, this is a big deal. FX Matt was founded in 1888. It's in its fourth generation of family ownership. At 135 years old, it is the fourth oldest family-owned brewery in the country. Of course, as I said, they brew Saranac, Utica Club, Flying Bison, and Beyond Beer offerings such as McKenzie's Hard Cider and Jed's Mule RTDs. This is an interesting move. It's a good move because it keeps the brewery from selling to a bigger brewery company like an AB InBev or a Molson Coors. So it keeps it independent. Most of the beer that Flying Dog was making and shipping out across the country was being made by FX Matt. So the beer is not going to change. But I wonder when the CEO of Flying Dog says, we're offering employment opportunities to as many employees as possible. That tells me they're going to be laying people off. People aren't going to make the move to Utica. There's going to be some issues there. And where they want to open up, they're talking about opening up an innovation brewery and tap room. So are they building out? Are they looking for something that's closing? And they're looking to do it in Frederick. Now, it sounds to me like Flying Dog obviously didn't have the space or the capacity to brew as much beer as they wanted to, which is why they had FX Matt do most of their brewing. And then they got too big for themselves and weren't able to do anything about it. It's a good move. I'm not criticizing the move here. I think it's actually a good move because it keeps both brands going and it keeps Flying Dog in the picture. But it also, it helps them in a way of unburdening them of their financial debt. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. If they continue to just brew all their beer up in Utica and send it out and eventually get back to Frederick, or if they close it permanently and sort of, you know, nobody knows about it. So we'll check down the road in a couple of months. We'll see what happens there. Our good friends from Lost Tavern Brewing, Hops for Hope, it's back again. It's a new date. Saturday, September 23rd, mark your calendars. It is an amazing event that takes place in Hellertown, Pennsylvania. There are so many breweries that have already confirmed. I'll run the list down real quick. Abomination, Alternate Ending, Bolero, Brick City, Crooked Crab, Dancing Gnome, Dewey Beer, District 96, Evergreen, Fourscore, Heavy Reel, Hidden River, Icarus, Imprint, Levante, Magnify, New Trail, Odd Logic, Source, 10-7, Tin Barn, Twin Elephant, Vitamin C, Warwick Farm. Those are breweries that have already confirmed. There will be more coming. It's going to be bigger and better. They raise money for pediatric cancer. 100% of the proceeds go to pediatric cancer. It's a fantastic event. It's Saturday, September 23rd. It's usually two sessions. They do 3 hours for each session. As soon as I have the more details and when tickets go on sale, I will get the information to you. This is an event I've already got marked on my calendar. I have a busy month of September, but it's going to be awesome. LostTavern.beer for all the info, including to purchase tickets. And just in time for Summer City Brew Tours, Tampa has launched in Tampa Bay, Florida, bringing its variety of all-inclusive, behind-the-scenes educational tasting tours to one of the top craft beer scenes in the country. Craft Beer Brew Tours Tampa now offering a closer look at some of Tampa Bay's most popular and nationally celebrated breweries, including Barry House Beer, Bastet Brewing, Big Storm, Cigar City, Southern Brewery and Winery, and more to come. Tampa home to more than 100 breweries, and we're excited to offer a brewery tour experience that combines humor, history, education, food, transportation, and, of course, plenty of top-notch beer selections from some of the city's finest brewers. That's from Alan Sandler, CBT's Tampa's managing a partner. More than just a tasting tour, City Brew Tours Tampa is an immersive experience and a great new way to experience Tampa Bay and its booming craft brew culture. Now, two unique all-inclusive tours, the Taste of Tampa Brew Tour and the Walking Brew Your of Wybor, led by official beer guides who drive to each brewery while offering entertainment along the way. For both tours, guests receive an all-access pass, includes visits to three breweries, 12 to 16 tastings, depending on the ticket type, a lunch or dinner with beer pairings, and exclusive City Brew Tours Tampa swag, a version of the Taste of Tampa Brew Tour without a meal called the Sip Tour, is also available to book. CityBrewTours.com is the website for more information. Tours range from 3 to 5 hours in length. They're available on weekdays and weekends, starting at just $49 per person. They do private events as well. It's an awesome tour. I wish they had this when I was in the area a couple months ago. I would have definitely jumped on it. It's a lot of fun. You get food. Food is included in the ticket price unless you're doing just the sip tour. But it's a lot of fun. And it's very knowledgeable, and you learn a lot of different things, which is really cool. So definitely encourage you, if you're in the Tampa area and you want to take advantage of a beer tour, City Brew Tours, Tours Tampa is definitely the way to go. And then Three's Brewing, kicking off peak lager drinking season with Summer of Pils. It's a week-long festival in New York City celebrating one of the brewery's beloved styles. Villette is their signature Pilsner beer. It's a great beer. The festival runs from June 2nd to June 9th. They are going to be doing a whole bunch of different events. They're going to have a kickoff party on Governor's Island featuring live music, food specials from the Meat Hook, outdoor activities, and draft beer specials. Two panel discussions about the craft and culture of Pilsner featuring representatives from Three's Brewing, Jack's Abbey, Halfway Crooks, Bearded Iris, and Human Robot Brewing, among other special guests. They'll have an oyster shucking class led by Greenpoint Fish and Lobster featuring Dreams of Yesterday Oyster Pilsner. A Czech Pilsner pouring party, featuring two new Czech beer collaborations on Lucre Side Pull Faucets, an Italian Pilsner night at Birrifico Italiano, or with Birrifico Italiano, and a menu featuring specials at various bars and restaurants across New York City. If you can't make it for any of these festivities, there'll also be several exciting beers released during the week and throughout the summer, which will be sold in stores and in Three's online beer shop. Lot of cool different things. Threesbrewing.com for more information there. You definitely want to check that out. I am a sucker for a good lager, good Pilsner. Love those beers. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Crisp, easy drinking, crispy. Crispy is the term that I'm looking for. Sorry about that. When we come back after a short break, we're going to have more news and notes from around the beer world, and there's plenty to get to. And then later on, we're hoping for Chuck Aaron from Jersey Girl Brewing. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Sucker in a three-piece from Van Halen's OU812 as we come back here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Man, what a great album. Again, four albums in the Sammy Hagar era, that might be my favorite. 5150 sort of exploded, but OU812 was a lot different, more of Eddie experimenting, more synths, more keyboards, things of that nature. Just a tremendous, tremendous album. 35 years ago this week. Unbelievable. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Dio's, I believe, Holy Diver came out this week 37 years ago, something like that. Maybe we'll play some stuff from that next week. Coming up in 10 minutes, Chuck Aaron from Jersey Girl Brewing. Yes, we got him on. He'll join me. Lots to talk about, starting year 8 as a brewery, how the craft beer conference went in Nashville a few weeks back, and, of course, the pesky New Jersey bill to help out breweries. This interview was recorded on Tuesday, the day before Chuck was heading down to Trenton with a bunch of different breweries to support the passage of this bill. It's sort of to get this bill out of one committee into the next committee, then headed to the Senate committee, and then hopefully it goes to the floor for a full vote and then goes on to Governor Murphy's desk. So I don't want to give away too much. I'll give away the answer in Suds and Duds. But a great conversation with Chuck that we had. Really, really good stuff. But let's dive into some other beer news before we have to take that break and then get into the interview with Chuck Aaron. In Salem, Oregon, a bill that would have increased the number of cases of beer and cider that you could have shipped to your house failed in the Oregon legislature. The bill would have increased the limit from 2 to 5 cases per month. It passed the Senate with bipartisan support, but failed in the House with bipartisan opposition. Opponents say excessive alcohol use is Oregon's third leading cause of preventable death, and 12% of Oregons have an alcohol use disorder. So interesting that the bill, not surprising that the bill would be struck down if this is the third leading cause of preventable death. And it'll be interesting to see what happens if there's, if the bill gets revived next year, if somebody else brings it up in a different form. If we get any more information, we will certainly pass it along to you. About the Hobbs Brewing in New Jersey, down in Mount Laurel, they're actually in the news for two reasons. One, they'll be a part of the Suds and Duds segment as we recap the B3, the Beer Barbecue Bacon Showdown that my good friend Allison puts on every year and that I am honored to be a judge on. But they put out a statement, and we mentioned on last week's program about how Cross Key Brewing was closing, maybe being acquired. Well, we have the answer now. Here's the quote or the comment from, or the statement actually, from About the Hops Brewing. We've been working very hard over the last few months to bring about some new and exciting changes. The beers, energy, and pride that Cross Key Brewing Company staff put behind everything to get it off the ground and out to the masses speaks volumes about the brand they built, and it didn't go unnoticed. We are excited to share that as of today, this was earlier in the week, Cross Keys Brewing will be joining the Bout the Hops Brewing family. We will be acquiring Cross Keys Brewing and merging their operations and beer lineup with ours to expand out our offering. Unfortunately, keeping the existing Williamstown Tap Room going wasn't in the cards. But the good news is you'll be able to enjoy both BTH and Cross Keys beer on tap in BTH's Mount Laurel location starting in late May, early June. Additionally, if you are picking up at a local liquor store or out at a bar, you can expect to continue to see Cross Keys right where it always was. So kudos to About the Hops Brewing for acquiring Cross Keys Brewing. Of course, financial terms not disclosed. And obviously, they couldn't keep the other location open because you can't own a satellite location of your brewery. So they're acquiring the brand. And they had to close up shop at one. But nice to see that Cross Keys Brewing is not going out of business. They are simply being acquired, which is always good news. The folks from Firestone Walker, an OG in the craft beer world, released this week a special Imperial edition of DBA, the beer that started it all for the brewery way back in 1996. Double DBA Batch 10K lands as a commemorative release that marks the 10,000th batch of beer brewed at Firestone Walker's Paso Robles, California brewery. This was the perfect beer to bring us full circle and mark this milestone brewing moment, said brewmaster Matt Brindelson. It takes DBA's classic oak influence profile to an entirely new level. Double DBA Batch 10K originates from DBA that was brewed at double strength and aged for a year in 11-year-old Old Fitzgerald weeded bourbon barrels. This distinctive barrel treatment enhanced DBA's classic flavors of toffee and caramel with notes of baking spice, cocoa powder, and dried fig. Double DBA Batch 10K rolling out to all Firestone Walker markets in limited 12-ounce bottle and draft formats. It's also available for a limited time at all Firestone Walker locations and online at firestonebeer.com. So kudos to Firestone Walker. Great brand, great beers. They just do a phenomenal job. And their barrel-aged stuff is stuff that you absolutely, if you see it on tap at a bar, get it. If you see a 12-ounce bottle of it, go buy it. You will not be disappointed. Cellar it. You will not be disappointed. Phenomenal beers. Tremendous beers. Cheers in Chester. Tickets are on sale now. My good friend Allison runs this event. Saturday, July 22nd, 3 to 7 p.m., Municipal Field, 134 Main Street in Chester, New Jersey. You can save $25 right now on general admission with the code SAVE25. That's SAVE25. It expires Tuesday, May 30th at midnight. One four-hour session, sample over 100 styles of craft beer, spirits and wine, fantastic music, delicious food, wonderful vendors. Benefits the Chester First Aid Squad. Cheersinchester.com is the website for more information. Must be 21 and over with picture ID for entry. Chairs, blankets, dogs, pop-up tents, welcome, no kids, strollers, outside food or drink, large bags or knapsacks. Pretzel necklaces are always allowed. It's a great event right on the field there. It's rain or shine. It's a really cool event right on the main street of Chester. And it's just a really, really nice spot. Again, save $25 on the general admission. Save $25. That code expires Tuesday, May 30th at midnight. And summer heating up on the Jersey Shore. The 8th annual Hop Sauce Fest presented by Jenny and Spice It Up, taking place Saturday, June 17th at Veterans Memorial Park in Beach Haven on Long Beach Island, New Jersey. The event features over 50 craft beers, hot sauces, food vendors, and live music from amazing artists. Plus, all for a great cause, proceeds benefiting the Jenny Rock Foundation. There's a VIP experience as well, sponsored by the Qualified Captain. It allows VIP ticket holders to skip the line and experience the fest from an exclusive stage-side tent that offers craft brews, local fare, and a VIP swag bag you can't get with general admission. The new owners of Jen's Links at Lighthouse Cove are on a mission to provide a quality family entertainment experience in Barnegat Light and have joined the Hop Sauce Fest as the family activity sponsor to bring unique games, prizes, and activities that even the youngest festival goers will enjoy. Adults can take home a piece of the fun, too, including a chance to win the Priority Bikes E-Coast Electric Beach Cruiser valued at $2,000 via an on-site raffle. Come enjoy tastes and color and wonderful sounds at Hop Sauce. For tickets to Hop Sauce Fest, just visit hopsaucefest.com. This is an event that is held for the last 8 years on Long Beach Island. A lot of different hop sauces, some craft beers. Not an event that I've ever attended, but a lot of fun, some great bands. I think there's 5 or 6 bands that are playing at the event. And again, the proceeds benefit the Jetty Rock Foundation. And Founders Brewing announcing their tequila barrel-aged lime goza, decap lime. It's specially crafted to deliver the uniquely tart and citrusy flavor of a tequila barrel-aged lime goza at an easy-to-drink lower ABV of 5%. It's the ideal beer to kick off your weekend or round out a long day. According to brewmaster Jeremy Kosmicki, it's well-balanced, perfectly sweet, entirely refreshing. Decap is light and bright, and the citrusy crusher will quench your thirst and calm your spirit before the night closes in. Decap Lime, available in the taproom or on shelves nationwide in 6-packs of 12-ounce cans. When we come back after a short break, Chuck Aaron from Jersey Girl Brewing is going to join me on this very program. And what is that program? Well, why, it's the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer.
One, two, one,
one of the best tracks off of Van Halen's OU812. Finish What You Started, a little funk, a little soul, a little blues. It was obviously a departure when this album came out 35 years ago this week. And I think it's one of their favorites. My goodness, I was a senior in high school. I was about a few weeks away from prom and graduation when this album came out. And I love it. I could listen to it cover to cover and never have a problem with it. But Finish What You Started, that's sort of the theme here as we talk to my next guest, who is one of the founders of a brewery in Mount Olive, New Jersey since 2014. They're open Wednesday through Sunday. They're dog friendly as well. Just a few weeks back, they started their 8th year in operation. For more info on the brewery, you can follow their Facebook page or just head over to jerseygirlbrewing.com. A guest on the program many times, Chuck Aaron is back on the program. Chuck, welcome back, sir. How are you?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me on the show today. I appreciate it.
You got it. Congratulations on all the success so far, sir. You're starting your 8th year brewing, and there have been lots of changes throughout the brewing world. But what has stayed the same for you entering year 8?
You know, the thing that I love about craft beer in New Jersey that's remained the same is we're expanding and growing. There is a lot of great craft beer hitting the market in New Jersey, and you know where New Jersey ranks in the United States right now. We're very low on the totem pole.
Right.
So the fact that people are still coming out and consistently investing in New Jersey, starting up these craft breweries and bringing great beer to the market. If you look at World Beer Cup, New Jersey got 4 World Beer Cups a couple of weeks ago at the Craft Brewers Conference. So I think that's starting to speak volumes of what's happening and transitioning in New Jersey, and I'm excited that we're part of it. We were there in the early days, and we continue to be there through these days.
And that's great that you said that, Chuck, because it was 4 New Jersey breweries, 4 different Jersey breweries that won medals, and in New York, where there are 3 times as many breweries, they only medaled 3 breweries. So that's very impressive when you talk about the scope of what was judged and how many beers were submitted, and that's a really cool thing. But one of the things so far that is remaining the same are the restrictions that the New Jersey ABC has placed on the breweries. We're recording this on Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen, just so that we're clear here. There is a vote scheduled in Trenton on Wednesday, but I'm going to ask this question to you two ways, Chuck. If the bill passes, is the fight from the breweries over? A fight, by the way, you guys never asked for. And if it doesn't pass, what are the next steps before the deadline of July 1 to sort of change the ABC, the ABC's mind in these restrictions that you guys have had?
You know, we've always had two goals, right? And one is we've got to remove the restrictive regulations that are imposed on the breweries, and we have to allow the industry to get back on course of growing and accelerate that growth. So we look at this July 1st deadline. That's when our licenses come out, and these special rulings are attached to those licenses. So regardless of the outcome of Wednesday's committee hearing, the committee hearing is the vote to advance our legislation to the next level, right? It still has a couple of more steps in the process, including going through the legislative process to get formalized, and then ultimately the governor has to sign off on it. We have a lot more to do, even after tomorrow. If it doesn't get through committee tomorrow, we still have got to get the special rulings removed from our licenses. It's enough that, you know, we're already a heavily regulated industry, but the fact that the ABC found it necessary to impose us with 18 new regulations to limit the amount of activities we can have at the brewery, you're not talking about an industry that needs that kind of regulations. You rarely hear about problems at breweries. You rarely hear about underage drinking at breweries. Right. You rarely hear about all the things that the ABC is worried about with other types of licenses. So we need to remove the restrictions. We need to let this industry grow. And come, you know, Thursday morning, the battle still continues, so to speak. And now we have to get our legislators, we got to get our governor on board to say, you know, you want alcohol reform, we need relief as breweries. It's completely two separate things. Stop trying to put us all under the same umbrella of change in New Jersey. Give the breweries the relief they need, and then go out after alcohol reform.
We're talking with Chuck Aaron, the owner of Jersey Girl Brewing, located in Mount Olive, New Jersey. JerseyGirlBrewing.com, the website for more information. We're here on the Al Cotullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. And by the way, full disclosure, the governor appoints the director of the NJABC. He serves at his pleasure. The governor can put a stop to this instantly by executive order, but he told me when I asked a question in January back on News 12 that he can't, which is he's 100% wrong on that. He could end this today if he wanted to, and he still hasn't done anything about it. And oh, by the way, it is amazing to me how all of these restrictions, it seems like, wink, wink, this isn't you saying this, Chuck, this is me saying this, and it seems like the restaurant lobby, which has a lot more money to throw at these legislators, are trying to influence things in a way that benefits them, which is, to me, in my opinion, 100% wrong. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit, but not too far, because this does have to do with politics, even though we don't really get into politics on the show. Chuck, you're running for a full term as a council member this November in the town of Mount Olive. How did this fall into your lap? You were appointed to fill a seat last year. You're now going to run for a full term as council member this fall. I know you're a busy guy, but how did this all fall into your lap?
I've always talked to the town about getting involved in town council. My future goal was in a few years when terms were up, I was planning to run and get involved in the town. My business is right here in Mount Olive. I live in Mount Olive. I've lived here for 19 years. We're doing such great things. And as people move on and out of town council, I'd like to remain involved so we can continue the great things we're doing. We're attracting a lot of great businesses. It's why I opened up the brewery here in Mount Olive. So my involvement is at a local level because I'm invested in the community, and I want to continue to see the community grow and flourish.
And how is serving out the term right now? I know you're running for re-election, but how is serving out the term helped you and Jersey Girl Brewing on a day-to-day basis? Do you see things from a different perspective business-wise that you might not have seen just as a business owner?
Being involved, I'm surprised how few people come out to the town council meetings, because a lot of these ordinances that we're putting in place affect the community, and there's opportunities for the community to come out and speak. And I was one of those people before I got involved in town council. I rarely went. I rarely got involved. and you start to see the future of where the town's going by attending the meetings. Mm. And I think that's what I get as a business owner now. I know the direction of the town. I know where we're investing, where we're going to be putting the efforts into the town to improve the town and draw people to Mount Olive. And I think as a business owner, that's an important insight. But there is a separation, of course, between what I do at the business and what I do on town council. But I got to tell you, it's exciting to have that forward vision and be a part of creating it. I think that's the exciting part.
We're talking with Chuck Aaron, the owner of Jersey Girl Brewing, located in Mount Olive, New Jersey. JerseyGirlBrewing.com, the website for more information right here on the Al Catullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Now, you and your brewery team were in Nashville a few weeks back for the Craft Beer Conference. I assume that you guys learned some stuff new. I saw lots of pictures from a lot of different breweries. Everybody was supporting the Nashville breweries and hanging out and having a good time. But what did you learn that was new there at the Craft Beer Conference that can be applied to Jersey Girl Brewing in the near future?
Yeah, it's funny you asked that particular question, because we got together as a team yesterday and we started looking at things that are short-term impact, midterm, which is like 6 to 12 months,
sure,
and then 12 to 5-year impact. And we broke it down into product improvement first, right? Mm. So how do we apply what we learned to make better craft beer? And then you start looking at production capability and say, okay, what's the new technology that's coming out that we have to apply to the business to enable us to make even better beer? And the last piece is exposure to other people in the industry to continue to build those bonds across and outside of just New Jersey to understand, how do you do it? And we're really new. Still, 8 years into it, I learned something new about craft beer every day.
Right.
So we break it out a little bit and to say there's a lot more ways to do what we do and make better beer and continue to improve what we do. So that's what we got out of the Craft Brewers Conference. But I can tell you this, I will say this, Al, there were so many New Jersey craft breweries at CBC that we, every time we turned the corner, there was another brewery, another brewery, another brewery. And we would get together at night, and it was just fantastic to have our New Jersey family, of breweries represented at a national level. It felt so great.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Last question from each, and that's the thing. You said it at the beginning of the interview. New Jersey is near the bottom in terms of craft brewing rankings of where everybody situates and what states are the best craft brewers or whatever. But Jersey is up and coming, and it's only moving forward. $1 billion in tax revenue goes to the state right now. That is a big number. And so my last question from me, Chuck, in your opinion, obviously the bill has to get out of committee. If it does, that's great, and the fight continues. But if nothing happens, if it dies in committee, which I hope that it doesn't, I feel like the governor, when he made his announcement in January, sort of overstepped his bounds by saying, we're going to do this sweeping liquor license reform, and we're going to change, 100-plus years of law overnight. And, again, it's one of those things where I think you have to do it in increments. It's not something that can be swept across with a broad brush. Short term, what can be done to try and fix this problem? I mean, again, we're talking $1 billion in revenue to the state. We've seen a number of New Jersey businesses going out of business right now. Some are merging. Some are doing other, trying to do other things. But what, in your opinion, is there anything that can be done in the short term if this bill doesn't get out of committee?
Absolutely. I think that, while the governor, like you said earlier, the governor says he can't, he truly can. His influence could extend to the ABC, instructing them to take our legislation and take the special rulings out and put the legislative language in its place that extends us a step closer to getting our legislation approved and in place, right? Whether it happens in July or not, the fact of the matter is the regulations have got to go away, the special rulings, and we need to have this legislation passed. And it's like you've said, $1 billion in taxable revenue. It's not shrinking, right? That number is growing spite of all the challenges. Imagine what we could contribute to the state given the opportunity to realize our full potential. You look at the other side of the coin, Al, and I think the worst part about what's happening is that we're losing breweries.
Right.
Right? We have breweries that are closing. We have breweries that can't survive.
Right.
And they're having to sell, they're having to exit the industry, not because they want to or they have a bad product, so to speak. It's the fact that they can't live through the regulations and the laws that are imposed on the businesses.
Yeah.
And that's not the way it should be.
No, you're right. And Chuck, and you know the other thing, the other day they just came out with a study saying there's a $2 billion shortfall that's going to hit the state that they, you know, had assumed they were going to have in February that they're not going to have now. So you're going to be $2 billion short. Yeah, you've got some reserves, but why would you want to tap into that? And you can improve upon an industry that's already giving you money and a steady cash flow that will only increase as these businesses open. To me, sounds like a no-brainer. It sounds like some people in Trenton, not so much. My guest has been Chuck Aaron, the owner of Jersey Girl Brewing, located in Mount Olive, New Jersey. JerseyGirlBrewing.com, the website for more information. Chuck, thanks so much for giving me a couple of minutes. Good luck with the vote on Wednesday, and I will see you very soon, my friend.
Thank you very much for the time. We'll talk soon.
You got it. Up next, it's time for Suds and Duds on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Oh, yeah, When It's Love, Van Halen, OU812. I remember this song. I just love this song for the musical arrangement, but the harmonies. When Sammy is singing, How Do I Know When It's Love? And you hear Eddie Van Halen and Michael Anthony chiming in the background. It's the perfect harmony. You know, Michael Anthony, very underrated as a vocalist and bassist. He can carry tunes. He's done it. He's sung some classic Van Halen on Concert with the Circle. But Eddie's voice, people forget that Eddie, when Van Halen first formed, Eddie was the lead singer of the band before David Lee Roth came along, when they were at Mammoth and, you know, back and forth. Eddie would sing. Eddie was the lead singer. So he's got some voice, ladies and gentlemen. It's just a great harmony with those guys. And again, 35 years ago this week, that OU812 from Van Halen, my personal favorite Sammy Hagar era album of Van Halen was released. So it is the final segment of the program. It's Suds and Duds. But a couple of news things that we need to get to. First, I'm going to review Allison's great event, the Beer Barbecue Bacon event, Beer Barbecue Bacon Showdown at Menin Arena that was in Morristown last weekend, an event that I judge every year. I've been judging it now for, got to be 6-7 years now. It's a fantastic event and so much fun. But we were talking to Chuck Aaron in our last break from Jersey Girl Brewing about this. They were on their way to Trenton on Wednesday to support this bill, A4630, legislation that would repeal the harmful license restrictions that have been imposed on New Jersey craft breweries. A quick little background before I get to the, you know, what happened. So Governor Murphy, in his State of the State address in January, said he wanted total liquor license reform. He wants to overhaul the whole liquor licensing. Great idea in theory. Probably poor execution because it's been around for so long, you can't get rid of it in one fell swoop, right? So I think it was Troy Singleton, the senator, Senator Singleton, who had introduced the bill. I'm pretty sure. If I made a mistake, I apologize. I don't have the notes in front of me. But bill was introduced to accomplish all of this in one shot. Well, a lot of people went back to the senator and said, there's no way this bill gets out of committee. Not going to happen. So it would have been squashed right from the get-go. So they broke the bill up into three separate bills. First bill to help the breweries, and then the other two bills to start making changes to liquor license reform. So the first part of the bill that will help breweries passed out of the first committee in Trenton. So the Brewers Guild of New Jersey applauded the Assembly Oversight Reform and Federal Relations Committee for passing A-4630, legislation that would repeal the harmful license restrictions imposed on New Jersey craft breweries. This from Eric Orlando, the executive director of the Brewers Guild in New Jersey. Since July of last year, New Jersey breweries have been struggling with onerous licensing restrictions that severely limit the way they can operate their small businesses, ranging from limiting the number of events they can hold to banning them from providing food options or even a simple cup of coffee. As a result, every single brewery has lost numerous sales and marketing opportunities. In fact, some businesses already sadly closed their doors, while several more are up for sale. If these restrictions continue, New Jersey craft beer will be in serious jeopardy and our communities will suffer. Consumers deserve a first-class craft beer experience when visiting a brewery here in the Garden State, and this legislation will ensure that happens. Orlando had testified alongside guild members at the committee hearing. We applaud the Assembly Oversight, Reform, and Federal Relations Committee for passing this bill, and we're particularly grateful to Assemblymen Calabrese, Mukahari, and Moriarty for sponsoring this common sense legislation. These three assemblymen sponsored this part of the bill. With the summer tourism season upon us, there is a pressing urgency for this measure to pass the legislature and for Governor Murphy to sign it. New Jersey must free breweries from these damaging conditions before they are automatically reinstated on July 1st. Orlando added that New Jersey residents overwhelmingly oppose the restrictions on New Jersey breweries. Last month's Stockton University poll shows 61% oppose regulations limiting events breweries can hold. 78% of New Jersey adults say they supported allowing breweries to sell food. Now, that's a separate discussion. Now, the bill still must go through another legislative committee and then a Senate committee before it can be brought to a vote. Now, from what I'm hearing from a number of people, it looks as though those committees are going to take place in the next several weeks. I don't think there's going to be opposition in the next Assembly committee. I think in the Senate committee there may be opposition. Who knows? Let's hope not. If those are if they're able to get out of committee very relatively quickly, it can get brought to the floor for a full vote. From what I'm hearing, Governor Murphy will sign it. He's not exactly happy about it. I don't think he's going to come out and say he's fully in support of it, because I think he wants more of a broader a change to happen. But I don't think he's going to get what he wants right now. And the clock is ticking. We've got about a little over a month before the restrictions go back into place again, you know, and stay, which is not good. And I think, and this is speculation on my part, if the bill comes out of these committees and we're getting close to July 1, I think you will see Governor Murphy step in and say, let's hold off on the restrictions. We're, you know, the bill is about to go to the floor and be passed. If it does and it gets to my desk, I will sign it. Let's hold off on those restrictions. I think if it gets as close to July 1st as possible, I think the governor may not put the restrictions in place, may wait for the bill to pass and then move on from there. I think, again, that's speculation on my part. I have no knowledge one way or another if that's going to happen. The good thing is, or the good news is, that it got out of this committee, that it's moving on to the next one, that things are happening. And that's good for New Jersey. It's good for the craft breweries. It's good for the state. It's $1 billion in tax revenue we talked about. $1 billion. You don't want to lose that. And they're losing businesses right now. Not a good thing. All right. We only have a couple of minutes left. The Beer Barbecue Bacon Showdown was last week. Had a great time judging this event. Allison, thank you so much for having me as a judge again. Let's give out the awards. Let's name who won what. The People's Choice Awards. The best dish was Rhythm and Ribs for their brisket. That guy put out some good brisket. By the way, his presentation was phenomenal. I mean, real plates, just beautiful stuff. His brisket melted in your mouth. It was really, really good. And then the best brew was New Jersey Beer Company's Peaches and Cream Milkshake Double IPA. We had talked about that as judges as being the best beer, but or maybe unique brew, but we weren't 100% sure. Now, our judges' choices. For best barbecue, Kimchi Smoke. Robert does just such an unbelievable job. You know, his smoked pastrami was unreal. I never tasted pastrami like that in my life. It was just unreal. He did his cronut again. He did some other stuff. His brisket was very good, but the pastrami was just off the chain. So good. Best use of bacon. This was great. Dan's Waffles for the Bacon Bourbon Caramel Crunch Shake. So bourbon and caramel in the shake, vanilla, I think it was vanilla ice cream, had a rim of bacon around the cup, and then a big piece of chocolate-covered bacon on top, drizzled with caramel. It was refreshing. It was unreal with all the food that we were eating. And the food was unbelievable. So good. There were so many good things. the Argentinian barbecue guy, his chimichurri, put it on anything, I'll eat it. I don't care. It's unreal. The brisket from Rhythm and Ribs was off the chain. There was so much good stuff. Unbelievable. Now, Best Brew, about the Hops Brewery won for their Kolsch in the Hosen, which was a German-style Kolsch beer. And the most unusual went to Bolero Snort for Double Rainbow, which as soon as we tasted it, we were like, oh my God, this beer is, you know, that's unique. I mean, without a doubt. So kudos to everybody for winning their trophies for this year. And, of course, all the judges, Peter Kulos, myself, Mike DeSimone, Chef Chris Massey, Deborah Smith, everyone who came out to support the event. It was awesome. We had such a great time. Loved it. Cannot wait for next year. But, folks, we are, amazingly enough, out of time. My thanks to everybody involved in the show, including my guest Chuck Aaron from Jersey Girl Brewing, and, of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. I will be back on the Joe Piscopo Show Tuesday at 6 a.m. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Have a great Memorial Day. Remember, the fallen. Cheers, everybody.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.